Last weekend, I was out of town for a wedding. I very much wanted to be here to speak with you about the Supreme Court ruling. Though belated, it's important for us to consider the implications of that ruling. To help with this, I've enclosed in the bulletin two important statements, one by Archbishop Kurtz, the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and the second by our own Archbishop Tobin. I concur with both statements, and I encourage you to read them as supplements to the homily today. The first reading speaks of the rebellious nation that has rebelled against God. An offense against truth is always an offense against God, a rebellion against God. For God is the truth, and God wills the truth. Our Lord says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." The Catechism teaches that offenses against the truth express by word or deed a refusal to commit oneself to moral uprightness. They are fundamental infidelities to God. Five Supreme Court justices offended against the truth in their ruling. They distorted the truth about marriage in ruling that gender does not matter. For marriage is not a personalized contract, but an institution authored by God, an institution ordered to the permanent and exclusive union of a man and a woman, an institution ordered to the procreation of children. What God has instituted, no court can redefine. They also distorted the truth about children. Quite arrogantly did the justices discard the wisdom accumulated through several millennia about the ideal configuration of marriage and parenting being composed of one man and one woman. Now, children are being used as guinea pigs in a poorly thought out experiment, an experiment that is fraught with risks and that may well be a catastrophe. Marriage was the only institution in the country that safeguarded the rights of children in this regard until last Friday. This sad chapter is not the first time that the majority of Supreme Court justices have distorted the truth about matters that go to the heart of our human experience. They did so in 1857 with the Dred Scott decision that equated a man with chattel simply because of the color of his skin. They did so in 1896 with the Plessy v. Ferguson decision that gave African Americans separate but equal access to education and public facilities, access that was certainly separate, but definitely not equal. They did so in 1944 with the Korematsu decision that upheld the relocation and the confiscation of the property of American citizens of Japanese descent. They did so in 1973 with the Roe v. Wade decision that opened the door to abortion on demand and that to date has cost the lives of over 58 million innocents. And they did it again less than a fortnight ago. They sinned against truth They rebelled against God, the God who is truth, the God who cannot be fooled, the God who cannot be deceived by the attempt to equate the divinely authored institution of marriage with the unions envisioned by these Supreme Court justices. That is my first point. The second point is that the Supreme Court decision not only makes it possible for such unions to be solemnized as marriages, it also opens the door to the criminalization of dissent from their decision. In fact, we are already seeing it with bakers, florists, and photographers being taken to court. You see, the court frames its decision within a discussion of matters of race. Bishop Papraki of Springfield, Illinois, puts it this way: in the course of its opinion, the majority compares traditional marriage laws to laws that denied equal treatment for African Americans and women. The implications of this analogy will be exploited by those who are determined to stamp out every vestige of dissent, end quote. One who dissents publicly, as I am doing this morning, risks at the very least being called a bigot, and at the worst being brought up on civil rights charges. Already, there are calls from the New York Times for the revocation of the tax-exempt status of dissenting organizations, such as our parish, as well as many Catholic schools and hospitals. Even homeschool families are at risk. The National Education Association is calling for parents to be licensed before they can teach their own children at home, and for all homeschool curricula to be approved by the state, thereby guaranteeing the indoctrination of all children in that which has sadly become the new normal. You see, the world takes offense at us, as the world took offense at our Lord in the incident described in today's gospel. Our government is at war with religious freedom. You see, the Constitution guarantees the free exercise of religion, not merely the freedom to worship. Pay very close attention to this distinction in the weeks and months to come. Our Constitution guarantees us the right to exercise our religion, not merely to worship as we choose. The right to exercise our religion in the public square comes not from the government, but from God. The Constitution beautifully enshrines that right in the First Amendment. But as Justice Roberts notes in his dissent, ominously, the majority decision does not use the word exercise. And this raises serious questions about our religious liberty. This is my second point. The first is that the decision represents a serious offense against truth and against God. The second is that the decision puts our religious freedom and personal liberty at grave risk. The third point is about how we shall now live, for there seems to be little that we can do to change the Supreme Court ruling, save only for an amendment to the Constitution or a constitutional convention. Both are long shots. The question is, how shall we now live? The bad news is that it's going to be difficult, very difficult. The good news is that we have been there before, and the result was the blossoming forth of many, many new saints. For evil labors with vast powers and perpetual success in vain, always preparing the soil for unexpected good to sprout. When King Henry VIII rebelled against the truth of marriage and broke with Rome, church property was seized, convents and abbeys plundered, and priests hunted down. From the soil of such evil sprang forth saints such as St. John Fisher, St. Edmund Campion, and over 300 martyrs, including the man for all seasons, Sir Thomas More. When the French Revolution reared its head, its evil head, and perpetrated the reign of terror, Notre Dame was desecrated, La Sainte-Chapelle was degraded, and hundreds were martyred, all in the name of liberty, equality, and brotherhood. Napoleon would imprison two popes in his efforts to destroy the church. Yet within decades of such evil came saints such as St. John Vianney, the curé of Ars, St. Peter Julian Aimard, and St. Bernadette. In fact, three holy people in France were so inspired by the martyrs of the French Revolution that they became missionaries to a foreign land known as Indiana. St. Theodora Guerin, foundress of the Sisters of Providence. Father Edwin Sorin, the president of the University of Notre Dame. Bishop Simon Brute, the first bishop of Vincennes. The good news is that as we prepare for what is coming in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision, we can say with confidence that we have been there before and that we have flourished. The blood of the martyrs remains the seed of the church. As St. Paul says in today's second reading, "Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That is my third point. We are quickly becoming a cultural minority, one that is obliged by conscience to show steady resistance to that which goes against the truth, and to do so without counting the cost, even to the point of martyrdom. On this Independence Day weekend, we remember that true freedom means not having the license to do whatever we want, but the capacity to do what is right, what is noble and holy and true. May we draw strength, courage, and fortitude for the road ahead by drawing near to the Eucharistic Lord Jesus, He who is the way and the truth and the life. And may God continue to bless America in spite of its rebelliousness.